Okay, Christopher, thank you as always for joining me. Another year, another Fetsy, right?
Another one in the books.
And the usual question: if we saw each other at the departure gate in Orlando, or maybe quite possibly in a hotel lobby bar when the show is over, the first question is like, what were your big impressions? What were the takeaways? I'll give you an extra challenge to not say AI for at least 2 minutes.
Fair enough. Challenge accepted. The big thing for me is I once again am reinforced by the fact that FETC belongs in Orlando. Above and beyond everything else, just looking at it from a show perspective, et cetera, it's where, you know, it has always been when it was Florida Education Technology Conference. It has the best draw. I know there are going to be some changes for next year, but I definitely see an improvement in the attendance and the types of people that we talk to when it comes home, let's say, as opposed to branching out to other cities and whatnot. Other than that, I think that there's a general sense of waiting to see what's next. And I'm not talking from a technology perspective. I'm really talking more from a political and funding perspective. I think that the industry is in an interesting scenario right now where we don't really know, with everything from hardware manufacturers and worrying about tariffs for if a lot of the products that are made over in China, what's that going to do to the industry, along with some political things such as what's going to happen with the new administration. And, you know, I'm not saying pro or con, but there will be changes, and how that affects not only the expectations of the schools, but the financing of the schools. So I think schools are kind of caught in a, we don't want to spend freely as we have been able to do with ESSER funds in the past. So they are digging a little bit deeper. They're scratching beyond that initial, you know, glossy surface, which for a company like mine is great. We love it because we've got the pedigree, we've got the experience, we know that what we're doing is built off of solid and good principles. So I welcome those conversations, but I think a lot of other companies are a little bit concerned with that because they need, everyone's being more thoughtful in their purchasing power at this point.
Sure. Sure. So let's pivot over and
talk AI.
Joking about AI, and I know your Eduverse has some AI stuff, but there are a couple acronyms that have always been in the mix over the years: AR and VR, and that is what your guys at Advantis, your bread and butter. I know you had some announcements there on the show floor. Let's dig in a little bit. Give us what you got.
Yeah. So the good news is that, with the current run of BET over in the UK that's happening right now, we essentially we're ushering in our eighth year of doing VR and AR in the industry. And what's more impressive about that are the people that the road signs that we've already passed, the companies that are no longer in the space. That I don't believe says that the space is not a valuable space to be in, but I think that we've seen a lot of startups and spin-ups, and these are even from large companies. I mean, when you start talking about the Googles and you start talking about the Samsungs and the Lenovos and the Apples, for example, there's a lot of companies that have tried to dance in the space, but that then backed out for one reason or another, of which we'll never get the full understanding and appreciation. We'll only get the marketing spin. But it goes back to how a product is used. And I've always been a very firm believer, it's not about the nouns, it's about the verbs. It's how you actually use it, not what the product is. So again, the fact that we're battle tested, we're tried and true. We don't try to be more than what we are. We try to envision this as a role in the classroom instead of making big promises and not being able to deliver on things. So we're very thoughtful, we're very methodical. And I think that that has proven once again that we're doing the right thing. VR and AR is still a virtually untapped scenario because technologies will continue to get better. The nouns will continue to get flashier, but you got to have the deep pedigree. You have to have the understanding of the whys and the hows, not just the whats. So I think that's really where we are in a good spot as a company, and we're hoping to actually take up a little more of the oxygen in the room and say, hey, we actually know what we're doing. Let us start to drive some of those conversations as opposed to always reacting to what someone else is bringing to the table.
So talk a little bit about show floor traffic, the folks who you saw, the districts that were coming by and looking at your solution. Were these, would you say, a majority of folks who haven't stepped in their toe into the pool yet? Maybe they have, but they're looking to progress. Maybe they've stalled. Give us kind of a, take a temperature of the state of play right now with districts and AR.
Yeah. So what I've seen specifically is every time I think that we're past the last wave, there's another wave coming. And what I noticed at this show in particular, and what I anticipate for the remainders of the Q1 shows, you know, TCA is coming up in a couple of weeks, and then Q's coming up in a month and a half or so. What I anticipate is we're going to continue to see possibly fewer people. It's not about land acquisition or land grab anymore. When we talk about, oh, everyone's got to get new customers. There is a very strong contingent of existing customers or people that have already played in the space that are now looking to go back and really squeeze more out of the investment that they've already made. So I don't think that when you look at trade shows, it's always interesting to find out the marketing department views trade shows one way. The sales department views trade shows another way. The board of directors views trade shows a third way. What are you really going there for? And for us, we did not have probably as many leads as we have in the past, but the conversations we had were much deeper. And specifically with the VR AR, what we're noticing is we're starting to see larger implementations. We're not talking to Mary Beth Fitzwater, a third grade teacher from Paducah, Kentucky, that wrote a grant with the local VFW. We're talking to Miami-Dade about what this could actually mean as a transformative tool across their entire organization. So the caliber of conversations have definitely shifted, which means we've gotten out of that, you know, cutting edge, bleeding edge, and now we're looking at the actual implementation stage. And that's good. It's a great place to be because I think those types of conversations move the needle much more drastically than all of the smaller ones. Although we still want as many people as possible to experience the technology, we know that from a sales perspective, those are going to be obviously some big ones that we're talking to. And from a lead perspective, we may not have gotten as many new people coming in just kicking the tires, but I feel like that's part of the overall maturity and maturation of the product category.
So it's no longer perceived as a novelty, let's say, but more of it just like as an effective tool in a district's toolkit.
Yeah, I think that's really key, and that actually does kind of dovetail quite nicely into, you know, our Edgiverse Plus announcement and things like that. Because again, it's not so much about VR, AR, it's what can I do with it? It's how can it go deeper? It's how can it actually impact more students? And that ultimately, like everyone will tell you, the big thing in education technology, content is always king. So it goes back to the content. It goes back to answering those questions, continuing to not write new books, but add existing chapters to the book. So even your existing customers can continue to grow within the system, as opposed to always having to find other things to replace and to try to tack on and Frankenstein together some sort of solution for their students.
Yeah. Well, go into the weeds a little bit. What do we got with the Edgiverse Plus?
So Edgiverse Plus is really interesting because we've been selling, you know, obviously over the last 8 years, we've gone through a couple different iterations of our approach. The number one thing that is still there has always been there, and what separates us and why a lot of other companies have not really ever been able to get traction remains our management portal. The ability for a teacher to go to the web, to a web page. There's no special router needed. There's no special app needed or anything like that. To go to a website and be able to have device content in a classroom and instructional management tools all built in to that one platform. So that's really been a key. But over the years, we've started to add to that. We started to look at other things. We increased from, you know, images, video, and 3D models. Then we added in explorable scenes. For a while, that was called Avantis World. Avantis World then got sort of rolled back into what we're offering as our base core product. That has now become the Eduverse library. So all of our content libraries are kind of referred to as Eduverse now. We've added in Eduverse 360 about a year ago, which brought in 300,000 360 images, great for putting together field trips or geographic information. Now we're looking at Eduverse Plus. And what's interesting is that these are very specific, deep libraries of content. So it's made up of four basic libraries right now. The first and foremost, as we said, I think I'm past my 2-minute mark here, so I can say Eduverse AI is one of our components. And what this basically does is it's put an AI engine, AI image generator engine, directly within our software. So from that same management portal, I'm now able to go in, I can put in a few keywords, I can choose a style, I'm able to generate a 360 image directly within our website and then drag and drop it over like any other piece of software or any other piece of content that we have in our library. So it's really opened the door more for teachers to get very creative, find exactly what they're looking for. They can go in and they can remove parts of the text saying, I want the Amazon forest, but I don't want any leaves. And it will generate that. And so you'll get a bunch of bare trees. What could that look like? So especially looking at things like creative writing, especially looking at visualization, art, all of that, it really opens up a new channel there by bringing in that AI engine for not having to take your 360 camera out and be able to capture it in person. The second one is, ever since I've been with the company, which has been 8 years now, there's been one piece of content that always wows everyone. Whenever they come by, it's one of our original pieces of content, and we call it the shark experience. People love being underwater and have a great white shark swimming by them. It's immersive. It gets a point across very quickly and easily. Well, now we've actually launched the Wild World library as part of Eduverse Plus. So this is going to come in, and it really gives high quality 4K 360 wildlife videos that you're able to then use across any subject area, et cetera. It's wonderful for elementary school, middle school science, things like that. They've got Jane Goodall content in there, really high quality stuff, not caching, not freezing. So good high quality images that I think really put the students in that safari like feeling. And you're really able to take a look at the full lifespan or ecosystem of an animal through the Wild World content. You then move into STEAM 3D. So STEAM 3D is a third library. With that library, we've taken our concept of 3D models and basically just blown it up. We said, you know, yes, you can take a 3D model, something that you would send to your 3D printer, bring that over and use that in augmented reality. That's wonderful. You can hold it, you can turn it, you can look at it. But people have been saying, we want more information. We want this to actually be an instructional piece of content. We want to be able to pull things apart. We want to be able to drill into those 3D models. So STEAM 3D brings in hundreds of new 3D models, extremely high quality, extremely high caliber. And this is where you start to get into more of that middle school, high school range, science, physics, a lot of, you know, once again, biology, et cetera, a lot of really good quality data packed pieces of content that you're easily able to drag and drop into your playlist. And then the fourth one, which we've been hearing about for quite some time, is our career hub. People have been wanting CTE. And what's interesting about CTE is it's a difficult thing to sort of tackle. And the career hub is our first step into this journey. And I say that because it's really important to frame this properly. So with Career Hub, you're able to get, you know, 40, 50 different types of careers that you're able to go and watch a video. You're able to see an informative video, a day in the life of an HVAC repairman, a day in the life of an emergency room operating or emergency room OR nurse, or an EMT, or lots of these different careers. The next step for that is going to be, now that you've seen, now that you've explored, the next step will be career training. And that's when, as a company, when we're looking down the road and we're looking at, you know, potential new hardware products coming up this summer, going into the fall, we're talking moving beyond our 3 degree of freedom, our 3 DOF headsets, moving into potentially 6 DOF headsets that we showed at ISTE last year. That all of a sudden starts to now take in a good handoff between the two. So right now with the 3 DOF in middle school, which is still our flagship product, you're able to go in, you're able to explore, you're able to find something that you like, something that you're interested in. And then when you move into high school and get your hands on the 6 DOF devices, that's where we'll be able to now bring out career training content, where you're actually able to do the welding, do the electrical repair, do the engine rebuilding and things like that, because you've got 2 hand controllers and 2 hands that are all manipulating the content within that sphere of influence.
Yeah, I've noticed that, as the technologies have become more sophisticated and the when you talk about augmented reality or virtual reality, you put those headsets on, especially when it comes to the Career Hub or CTE stuff, I think it definitely helps the students figure out what they don't want to do, right? You mentioned emergency room nurses.
Yeah.
I went through one application which had you high up in the air, replacing, electrical systems.
On like a wind turbine?
Yeah. I was like, yep, no, don't want to do that either. I was like, narrows it down in the reverse. Well, that's great stuff. And that really is an example of, this isn't science fiction. This is just real world applications, right?
Absolutely. And that, again, I think that having 8 years in the rearview mirror and feedback from our customers who are very passionate, globally based, but hearing from them and saying, okay, where do we need to go next? Spinning things up in a thoughtful way and then making sure we're doing it in the right way as part of an overall journey, not just to do something because we can. Again, I think it goes back to sort of the, I use the term gravitas once again, but we're the OG. I mean, we're the guys that are still on the block. We know what we're doing. And if we're going to do it, we want to do it in a thoughtful, methodical way and bring as many of our customers along with us on that journey as we can. So retroactivity, even if you have our first gen hardware, what can we do? If you want to upgrade your hardware, we've got upgrade programs that they can get refresh their hardware at a reduced price. All of that type of stuff. We need to look at our existing customers as well as acquisition of new customers, because the people that will really notice the biggest difference are the people that have been with us for the last 7 years.
Yeah. Well, Chris, as always, great insights. Appreciate your time and your reflections on not only FETC, but on the industry at large. I know our readers, our listeners appreciate it as they try to set their plans for what they're doing in the new year. So thanks very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.